Well, good morning again. As we had a short break last week out of the book of Hebrews, we're back into it again today. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 8. Again, it's one of those technical passages, but I trust at the end of it we will just be reminded that this book of Hebrews is just trying to show us how Jesus is superior to anything that went before him. But let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you again that even as we look at this rather technical passage of scripture, we thank you, Lord, that you are greater than all. Even anything that the religious experiences that the Old Testament can offer, we give you all the praise and help us to just be reminded of that, Lord, that it's all about you and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, we're in chapter 8 and I'm going to read it for us. It says, the point of what we are saying is this. Of course, he's talking about the passage that we looked at the last time in the book of Hebrews about Jesus being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He says, we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. Every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not have been a priest, for they already have men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve as a sanctuary, that is a copy and a sanctuary of or a shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is the mediator is superior to the old one, and is a foundation founded on the better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not to be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them out by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after that time. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they'll be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their sins and will remember their sins no more, their wickedness and remember their sins no more. By calling the covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. I wonder if you've heard that phrase, when we. A when we refers to people who are always talking about the past as if everything that happened in the past is better than what is happening in the present. You will hear them, when we were young, or when we used to do that, or when the country used to be like that. The when we's, people whose mind is in the past. Well, the first readers of this book of Hebrews were some of those kind of people. To a large degree, they were converts from Judaism to Christianity. And they wanted to return back to the Old Testament rituals with which they were familiar. They were the when we's, when we went to the temple or when we used to do that. And they were kind of, they were thinking, those were good old times, let's go and do those things. They were so used to doing something to earn their salvation that they felt they just having faith was not good enough. So that's the reason the writer of the book of Hebrews is writing to them. He's trying to show them that they don't have to be wenwis. He wants to show them why the new covenant is superior to the old one. So I've given this message this morning, this title. I want to talk about the superiority of the new covenant introduced by Jesus. You remember when Jesus gave out the elements around the table, he offered us the cup and said, "Drink ye all of it. This is the cup of the new covenant." Jesus introduced the new covenant, and this is what the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about and why it is superior to the old one. Make 4 points today. First of all, the new covenant is superior because the qualifications of the person who administers the new covenant are superior to those of the old covenant. If you want the best advice regarding a subject, who would you ask for the advice? I would suggest most likely you would ask the person who is the most qualified. You wouldn't ask a plumber to do surgery on your body, would you? Just as you wouldn't ask a hairdresser to fix your car. No, friends. If you want the job done, you want the best person for the job. And the writer of the book of Hebrews shows how Jesus is better qualified to administer the new covenant compared to the high priests who administered the old covenant. So how does he show that? Well, first of all, he says, Jesus, he reminds us, he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The last time we looked at the book of Hebrews, we looked at how the priestly order Jesus belongs to was superior to the Mosaic priestly order. So in this next chapter, the first thing the writer of the book of Hebrews says, and he makes this point clear in verse 1, the point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest. Friends, that's the first issue. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that's why he can serve the new covenant. He and Melchizedek are the only two mentioned in the scriptures which were part of that order. All the others were part of the Mosaic order of priests. So, friends, his qualifications are better. Secondly, his qualifications, the work he did on the cross is complete. Friends, when you want a job done, you don't want it half done, do you? In verse 1 carries on, he says, the point of what we are saying is this, we have such a high priest who sat down. Friends, this picture of sitting down in scripture is one of always of completion and victory. In Psalm 48 and verse 8, it says, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And the book of Revelation is full of it. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, chapter 11 verse 16, chapter 14 verse 16, chapter 19 verse 4, chapter 20 verse 4, chapter 20 verse 11, chapter 20 verse 5. And the one I want to quote is chapter 14 and verse 4 in Revelation. It says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp stickle in his hand. Friends, Jesus completed the work. On the cross he shouted, it is finished. Friends, in the contrast, the high priests had to return year after year after year after year after year to offer the sacrifices again. Friends, Jesus' qualifications are better because when he does the job, he does it completely. He doesn't need to go back and do it again. Thirdly, his qualifications are superior because the place he sits is the place of highest authority. The opening verse ends with this. It says, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. The writer of the book of Hebrews is reminding the first readers of a very important messianic psalm. In Psalm 110 verse 1, it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. You see, the first readers of this book would have understood that imagery. The imagery is of a victorious general returning home after a battle. When he arrived home, he would present the defeated enemy to the emperor or the king of the country, and the emperor would put his feet on the defeated enemy as a sign of complete domination. Friends, Jesus' qualifications to carry out this covenant he has them because he is in the place of highest authority. Friends, when the high priest entered, he stood before the mercy seat. Jesus, friends, sits on the mercy seat. So the first reason the new covenant is superior is that the qualifications of the person who administers it are superior. Secondly, the new covenant is superior because of the quality of the tabernacle where the new covenant is served. Look again at these verses 2 to 5. It says, who serves in the sanctuary? The true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. Every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If we were on earth, he would have not to be a priest, for they are already men who offer the gifts prescribed of the law. They serve at the sanctuary. That is a copy and a shadow of what is heaven. That is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. He said, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Friends, the tabernacle of the new covenant is of superior quality than the tabernacle of the old covenant. Why? Well, the writer is reminding us of two things. First of all, the Mosaic tabernacle, friends, is set up by men. The heavenly tabernacle is set up by God. Every time the nation of Israel moved while in the desert, they needed to dismantle the tabernacle. It was just a big tent, and rebuilt it when they got to the new place. But friends, the heavenly tabernacle has always been there and has always been God's dwelling place. And the second point that the writer is making, he says the heavenly tabernacle is but just a copy. I mean, the Mosaic tabernacle, the heavenly tabernacle, friends, is the pattern. It says, verse 5, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. You know, oftentimes an artist will do an original piece of art. And because the artwork is so wonderful, the artists will often they will make reproductions. They call them prints of the original. Now, often those prints can be quite valuable, But friends, they are never more valuable than the original. And that's the point that the writer to the Hebrews is making. Friends, the quality of the tabernacle where the new covenant is served is superior to the quality of the tabernacle where the old tabernacle or Koval covenant was served. Number three, the new covenant is superior because of the questionable effect of the old covenant. Verse 6 and through to 8 says, but the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, for it is founded on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another, but God found fault with it and said. You see, the benefits, friends, of heaven are better than the benefits of the tabernacle. Friends, the benefit of heaven is that Jesus, it says, the ministry that Jesus received is superior. What ministry did Jesus receive, friends? Jesus, friends, rose from the dead. That's the ministry of Jesus. God raised him from the dead. Whereas the ministry that the Old Testament offers is simply, you got to come back and do it again, friends. But the ministry we receive in the new covenant is the promise of eternal life. We receive new life in our bodies already. When we become believers, friends, we are living as if we are citizens of the new, of heaven already. Secondly, the Old Testament is questionable because the Old Testament, friends, depended upon people. People needed to do it. It says in verse 8, but God found fault with the people. Friends, the wonderful reality is that the new covenant doesn't depend on people, it depends on God, friends. What a great reality. The Old Testament could never be successful, because it depended on a high priest who was faulty. It depended on people who came who were faulty. But the new covenant, friends, the quality of it, it's not questionable because it depends on what God has done. Friends, it's questionable also. And the writer of the Hebrews says, if there'd be nothing wrong with it, why do we need another one? Friends, that's the point. If the first one had worked, why did God bring another? And finally, the new covenant is superior because of the quality of the blessings in the new covenant. In verses 8 through to the end of the chapter, the writer of the book of Hebrews is quoting from Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, we have the message of the new covenant. Up until this point in time in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is prophesying against the nation of Israel. But in chapter 31, he talks about the new covenant, and those verses are found there. So what does the new covenant teach us, friends? The new covenant tells us that the nation will be restored. In verse 8 it says, a time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. You see, the nation of Israel had been divided, friends. A little bit like the nations of the people of this world had been divided at the Tower of Babylon. The nation of Israel was divided, and like God promised to restore the nation of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, he is now promising to restore the nations. In the new covenant, friends, people from every tribe and every nation joined together to the glory of God. What's the second benefit of the new covenant? What makes it, the quantity of it better, is that the new covenant, friends, is written on their hearts. The old covenant were written on tablets of stone, but the new covenant in verse 10 says, I will put my law on their minds and write them in their hearts. Friends, what's on the inside matters to God. God is interested in what happens on the inside, friends. He doesn't look at the outside. He doesn't look how beautiful you are or how well you're doing things. He wants to know what's in your heart, friend. It's one of the things that makes it so difficult even for us to know who truly is a believer and who isn't. Because, friends, there can be many who can put on all the airs and graces of being a Christian and not be one. And there can be one who is humble, who is a deep Christian. Thirdly, friends, the covenant, the new covenant, is with individuals, not nations. Verse 10, God says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Friends, how wonderful. Up until this point in time, the covenant had been with the nation of Israel, but now it becomes personal. Friends, God will be your personal God. He will meet you personally at your point of need. You don't need to go anywhere else, friends. You can come to God directly. Fourthly, the fourth benefit is that God himself will be our teacher. Friends, while it's a real privilege for me to expound the scriptures to you, the reality is the Holy Spirit himself can be your teacher. Verse 11 says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. Friends, there is many a testimony of somebody who simply by reading the Bible has become a Christian. Not another person is involved in that process, because, friends, the Holy Spirit is the one who is our teacher. Sometimes you don't need a great education to understand the ways of God. You just need to be submitted to the Word of God. And then, friends, the fifth benefit of belonging to the New Covenant is in the New Covenant, God will display mercy and grace and not wrath. Verse 12 says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Friends, we will no longer be afraid of God, for we will be in fear of him. We will be in awe of him. Friends, we no longer need to be afraid. God is ready to exercise mercy and grace and to forgive us our sins. So, friends, the new replaces the old. What Jesus has done on the cross is all you need. Friends, the Old Testament is great. It's got many wonderful stories. But, friends, we need always to run to Jesus. Jesus, friends, replaces the old. So the writer of the Hebrews in verse 13 says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. And so writing to those first readers, he's reminding them, man, the Old Testament was great. It's one of the reasons I'm so confused today. There's so many in Christian churches who want to practice Old Testament things. You don't need to practice Old Testament things, friends. Jesus is the answer. All we need to follow is Jesus. Forget about all those Old Testament things, friends. Just go to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's what this book is all about, what our messages are all about. Friends, his covenant is superior to the halt. Let's run to him. Lord, we thank you that what you have brought is far superior to what is found in the old. Thank you that your covenant you made with us at the cross is eternally encouraging and secure. We hang on to that truth of that covenant. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you again as you go through this day.